Hey guys, it's David here from Rapid QS. We're just out here in Papamoa. Today we're going to see Stefan White from Mount White Builders. Self-made building owner. We're here at his house today. We're just going to do a podcast and a bit of a sit down. So watch this episode.
Stefan, surfer, building business owner, homeowner here in Papamoa. Can we call you an Insta celebrity? Not quite sure. You obviously take it quite seriously. Somewhat of a family man and loves the hustle. So, yeah, thanks very much for giving me your time today, bro.
Thanks for coming down, man.
Hey, where did it all start, mate? Obviously, the majority of our following is all young builders, business owners, guys who are either apprentices or third years, fourth years. They all want to know the questions of going out on your own, doing your own thing. So give me a rundown from left school to where you are now.
Yeah, so left school, it was the 07, 08 recession, and all I ever wanted to be was a builder. Like, the boys who I looked up to, I always, driving past the beachfront, I was from Whangamata, and they always had the apron on and pretty fit fellas, and they always had all the chicks, and the chicks like the tradies, and then they always surfed. I looked up to them for their surfing, and then I just wanted to be a part of that. So I'd always talk about it to them and what it was like to be a builder, and then my brother was mates with them, was the older gen, and then I was getting a bit over school, I wasn't really going to school much, and then one day one of them rung me up and he's like, do you want to an apprenticeship? And I was like, fuck, I'd love to. And I went home and told mum. Well, I was meant to be moving to Tauranga with her because she just sold up in Whanga, and I was like, I'm not coming, I'm going to work. She's like, when are you starting? You're not. And I was like, I'm starting tomorrow. And that was it. And then just been building ever since. I was 16.
What was your first paycheck as an apprentice builder, because everyone loves rates? $8?
it was $9 an hour taxed.
Yeah,
and I remember he brung it down to the beach, and I was so stoked. The guy Titch I worked for, we're still close, he brung it down to the beach, and it was like $270 cash.
And then
he's like, oh, that's cash, so and took another 20 out of it, and so it worked out to be like $250, and because he just thought he'd keep a 20 out of it, but I was so stoked, I didn't say a word, no back chat. I was like, fuck, that's mean.
Went and ticked up a Ford Ranger straight away?
Nah.
Nice. Yeah. How long did you stay with your main company as an apprentice the whole time? How long did it take you, and how'd you go with the bookwork stuff? That's always a big question.
No, I didn't actually stay with the main company. Whanga was like a tight-knit community.
Yeah.
And like, it was more like I'd like the projects. And I never ever left anyone on bad terms. I could actually go back to every boss I've ever worked for.
Yeah.
But it was more like he was building that beachfront house. Hey, I want to go be part of that. Or hey, I like that project. So it was never on bad terms. I worked for my sister's husband, he's a big building company out there, Judd Builders, Pete Davison, my other mate Lundy, and it took me bang on 4 years to get qualified.
And
I was shit at bookwork at school, because I had no purpose, but I hummed through my bookwork for my apprenticeship, because I just loved it and just wanted to get qualified. Yeah.
Did you kind of set out like I remember when I was doing mine, I just would sit every Wednesday, 6 to 8, I'd just pump it, no excuses. We always had rugby Tuesday, Thursdays. Did you have like a routine or?
Probably, to be honest, like in life, I never got into routines until I started my company.
Yeah.
Like I always done work on my apprenticeship, but I never really had such good life routines. That more come once I started my company, but I was motivated to get it done. I wanted to do was be a qualified builder.
Nice. Yeah. Did you have good foremans along the way? I feel like that's always, you say, obviously you look up to you've got role models like your parents or family friends, but I feel like a foreman, you're with them 45 hours a week.
I look up to, he'll get a big head because he'll watch this, Juddy, old man Juddy. He's still family. My sister's obviously married to his son, Josh, but I look up to Mark, and he taught me what a dodger block was and a string line, and so I always like looked up to him. And then another guy, Stu, I worked for, I looked up to him, and I reckon, and then a guy from Aussie, Jez, and just I reckon I moulded myself as a builder. I probably took a little part of maybe 20% of each foreman, and then of each of their way and moulded it my own way.
Yep. Yeah. That's the way to go, eh?
Yeah.
So your apprenticeship overall was pretty good. When did you form Mount White Builders and how long have you been going for now?
So I started off, I'm going to say this on camera, but I started off doing heaps of cashies on the weekends.
Yeah, cut that.
But yeah, I had a job on wages when I was 22, and then I was running three other guys on the weekends doing projects, and I was making more money on the weekends and on Saturday, Sunday than I was on the whole week.
Yeah, I was
probably making double, triple.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't actually quite qualified.
Yeah.
And then I was just about done, and then I just went to see my boss. I was like, hey, I'm
done.
How much notice do you need? I'm done.
Yeah.
And I was 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went out and I was a sole trader, 22 to 24, and then I'll just get contractors in to help me, and then I formed White Builders just under 8 years ago.
Man.
Yep.
How did you get your first lot of kind of like weekend jobs, cashies? That's a big one. People are always obviously stressing when's the next job going to come from, etc. How did you go about jobs, sales?
Nah, I've always like believed in like the law of attraction.
Yeah.
And then so if I, still to this day, if ever I'm like, I'm only booked out 4 months down the track or six months down the track, I it sounds crazy, some people don't believe it, but manifestation.
Yeah.
And then 100%. I love talking to people.
I
get a kick out of like talking to people, and then I just promote my company everywhere I went.
Yeah.
I'd find a way like to be like, hey, I'm Stefan and I've got a building company. Like everywhere I went. So I walk into cafes and come out with
couple numbers, couple names.
Yeah, numbers and connections, and then so I just promoted. That's all I promoted was Stefan from White Builders. Wherever I was in the surf, at the hot pools, in a cafe, at a mate's house, I'd get numbers. I still to this day.
Would you say what's been your sort of strategy behind the whole Instagram stuff? You obviously take that a little bit seriously. Do you get a lot of work through that? What's your main kind of promotion through that?
I do get work through it. Most of my work's like word of mouth. That for me, I found like I've met you through it, and then I've mainly got like real good connections through Instagram and just like different sub trades like plumbers and sparkies and jib stoppers, and I've just found it's a real good way to meet people. I've actually met some of my real good mates through Instagram because
you only
follow what you're interested in.
Yep.
Yeah,
100%. In regards of your, like how you get your, like say the projects or the work you take on, are you sort of doing more contract work to tier one and tier two developers, or are you doing sort of mainly full contract work, residential stuff? What's your kind of base of work and how do you get it?
Yeah, so we're in with heaps of schools. We do heaps of direct to the schools, like the board funded projects. All my subbies will tell you this, I'll probably do the craziest schedules you'll ever see, like the most aggressive schedules.
Yeah.
And I'll just do anything to stick to those schedules.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll do it. I know, like, I've seen other builders' schedules and they've done a 3 month one and I've done it on the same project 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, no word of a lie.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And they're like, can you do this? I'm like, yeah, you're going to have defects, but
yeah,
I'll get it across the line and you'll get in, but we'll have to come back and do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, so we do, yeah, we're the main contractor on school projects. Like not massive projects, like medium to small. We're a main contractor on, we do high end residential, like new builds.
Yeah.
And then heaps of renos.
Yeah.
Heaps. But yeah. And then quite close with Alaska Construction.
Yeah, they're a big,
they're
big
just the management company, and I'm mates with the QSs and I get along real good with the owner. We're actually renovating the owner's house at the moment.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Where's
the
owner live?
He lives in Tauranga, up
Tauranga.
In the hills.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah, there's an owner up in Auckland too.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the only company I ever contract to.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I trust them.
Yeah.
And they're not trying to screw me down. They've got a real abundant mindset.
Yeah.
Which I've carried through into my company.
That's good, eh?
So I like working with them, yeah.
I feel like it can show a lot to a contractor who can subcontract to a big company and withhold that relationship, because you're forever hearing of a main contractor firing labour-only builders, constantly rotating crews.
Yeah, 100%. I see it all the time with every other... Yeah, and we get headhunted by a lot of other like companies like Alaska, but we just stay loyal to Alaska because we've got a good relationship and they're not trying to burn me or stiff me. Or, like, you hear guys and they're like, oh, I... I do all this extra work. So they, I'm like, how did the job go for you? Because I'll see them fucking on some big project in town, and they'll be a company that's maybe come from Resi, and they're like, oh, I just done all this extra shit, so it didn't go that good. And I'm like, that's kind of where you make your money.
Yeah.
Like on extra stuff. Extra, and if you've got a good relationship, like with those QSs from those big companies, they'll teach you. They kind of taught me like everything I know.
Yeah. Pricing.
From working with them is how I structured my company, and I'm like forever thankful, and I'll never step on their toes.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Eh?
Like, I'll never price, because I've been offered to price stuff that they're pricing.
Yeah.
But I never will.
Yeah.
Because they've taught me everything I know, like just working with their QS, isn't it?
That's good. I think that just submits you. You'll have good longevity for work if you look after them.
Yeah.
In a good relationship. I have one good question. I want to ask, how hard is it to get on the panel for school or education work? Usually that can be quite, you've got to pass quite a few sort of checks, and it can be quite rigorous to get in.
Yeah, so you got to, you've obviously got to pass all your police vetting and all your crew. And then, it's pretty cutthroat. He'll laugh if he watches this.
Yeah.
The consultant I do work for is chewed through a fair few builders.
Yeah.
But I'll just jump for them. I'll just prioritise it because I know it's an important relationship.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get asked that quite a bit.
Yeah, I could imagine.
But it's like a. Some people wouldn't want it if I showed it to them what was involved. Like, if I spelled out everything that was involved, they wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of like we're coming into Christmas and everyone's about to sit down and go on holiday with their family. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm about to ramp up and
crank it
and pump 60 to 80 hours a week while everyone else is going to festivals. And,
yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm going down the lake for a week with my kids, but I'll be on the phone the whole time working. Yeah. Like,
100 phone calls a day.
It takes over your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not dedicated, and if you fuck up one project, you're gone.
You kind of get one opportunity, eh?
Yeah.
How many guys are you running at the moment, and how hard is it to find good guys in Tauranga, the Mount, Papamoa? Yeah.
So we're running about 10 at the moment. We're getting contractors when we need to. It was real hard. Mm. Like, I've kind of always ran ads for guys and then trying to build up stronger teams. It was hard. I used to get 1 to 2 applicants a month.
Yeah.
And now I'm probably getting 5 to 10 applicants a week.
Yeah.
And so I've actually I've kept one original.
Yeah.
And I've actually reshaped my whole company.
Whole team.
Yeah, man. Slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people get complacent.
Yeah.
Like if you have the same guy for too long, he might become lazy, man.
100%.
And just expects everything and has their hand out. So I don't know. I've got the mindset everyone is replaceable.
Yeah.
I've had guys and I've had a good year out of them, and then they become complacent. So I've got
shifting
no qualms and moving them on. Yeah. Obviously, try and do it the right way and find them another job and do it positively. But
that can go two ways. It can sound quite bad, but also like everyone's goals and situations change. Like
100%.
They might need to leave a location, or they're looking at a career change, or they get a better offer. But you were saying before, you've always left your old bosses on good terms, which is not just I might need you in the future, but I think it's just a good
I'll still go for beers at their houses. Like we're mates with them all. And And then maybe I was a little bit harder when I first started my company. Like I was probably a harder person all around. But just as of age, like maturing, and I have a beer with probably the last bunch of guys that have left me, and we're all still mates and follow each other on social media. We're sweet.
I think that's good, because if you even ever call upon a favour,
we'd be there for each other, and I always give them a reference, and just try and move them on positively.
100%.
Yeah.
Before you met Rapid QS, how did you price your kind of jobs, and what's been your biggest win and your biggest loss on a project?
So how did I price my job? So I've actually taught myself how to price, to be honest, by hiring. I've spent thousands on QSs.
Yeah.
I this is being honest, I used to get big jobs coming and I wouldn't know what the F I was looking at. Like I could build it on site.
Mm.
Even some of them were probably intimidating for me on site, but I just I'd hire a QS and then I'd do my own breakdown without looking at them. I might pay them $2,000.
Yeah.
I'd pay you $2,000 before.
Yeah.
$3,000 or whatever. No, you know, and then I'd match them and see where they matched.
Yeah.
And then I sort of, then that, I was always pretty right.
Yeah.
And it always, then so it just gave me confidence and now, I can price pretty much anything that comes to my door if I've got the time.
Yeah, man, that's the biggest killer for people, eh?
And wins and losses, no risk, no reward.
Yeah,
like, I'll 100% price some shit that no one would dream of pricing. I've had subbies and they're like working, like other companies contract to me and they're like, are you doing this on charge up? And like, being the gnarliest extension or rotten. And I'm like, nah, this is all fixed price. Like, and they're like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But like, some of that stuff's been like my biggest win. Like, yeah, do you want numbers or do you?
Oh, up to you, bro. I'll put it out there first. I've been screwed on a job and lost $120,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've cut even on lots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I think sometimes when you've got a few guys, like, you will just sometimes, you like, fuck, I actually need this job.
Yeah.
Just to keep the crew going, because you can see your next one's cream. And so,
so
you kind of bridge the gap sometimes with jobs that you're not even really going to make anything on, but it keeps your crew running.
Yeah,
100%. Well, I've gone in light on purpose before.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that my boys are keeping fed. And then, but then you get some that go the other way. Like, you might price and you might make, we're not even going to go into the percents, but you can make some crazy
good money.
But no risk, no reward.
Yeah.
Those guys who just charge up all the time, unless you've got 80 guys or 50 guys on charge up and you're making $10 an hour, $15 an hour, you're never gonna
make decent money.
So you gotta put your balls on the line. I could fuck up and I could be wrong. And if you're wrong on a few, I could lose.
Yeah,
you lose everything.
Yeah, but absolutely, man.
I don't want to sit back and take a back seat.
Going on that, I think that can be real crucial. You do look at like your pipeline, or if you're a bigger builder and your average job is say 4 to 6 months. If you're stacking in some smaller stuff or you've got a gap, you will take a job at a lesser margin strictly to keep your team.
Yeah.
If you spend 2 to 5 years building up a good team and then you run out of work for 6 months, you've just spent all that time. You know, I consider it looking like an investment.
100%.
I'm just going to take this job, keep everyone busy, but then our pipeline's going to fill up again.
Yeah, 100%. You always got to be forecasting, eh?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
In regards of subbies, how long has it taken you to build up a good team of subbies? And people love knowing rates and stuff, so I want to discuss a little bit of rate stuff around Tauranga and Papamoa, right?
Yeah, so it probably took 5 years, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, to build a good team of subbies, and now I've got a real good team, and I know that they're going to go in and keep my clients happy.
Cool.
Keep me happy.
Have you, going back on that complacency question with your guys, have you had to, do you sort of keep a check on subbies? Well, not keep a check, but if you notice your plumber creeping prices up and that, will you do a bit of a check on that or look for a new plumber, or how do you work that stuff across the board?
I reckon it's healthy to keep two of all subs.
Yeah.
And they know that you've got two, because, and so they're never going to start taking the piss if they know you've got two.
Yeah.
Like, I have been caught, and I've been caught actually recently, because I'm not going to say which sub trade, but I got down to one subcontractor I was using in a certain trade and his prices were starting to skyrocket.
Yeah.
And my clients, because I break down
everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then I got three clients in a row hit me back on that one sub.
Yeah.
And so now I'm running two. But so that's a perfect lesson that you should always run two, and it keeps your subby honest too.
Yeah.
If they know you're getting two prices for everything and you just try and share the workload to them, eh?
Is most of your stuff that you're doing, like the extensions and the renos, are you doing all that on fixed price stuff, or are you having to disclose, like show an open book contract essentially, show subbies prices?
Usually it's like fixed price.
Yeah, cool.
But if I've got a real good relationship with the client, I'll usually just do an estimate.
Yeah,
and then just cost plus margins.
Yep.
I think that actually works out better for the
client
most of the time too. It's an honest way of doing business, but some people just want a fixed price, so you're obviously going to load it up to make sure that you're safe, eh?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. I think so many people get scared around fixed prices purely because, I could lose money there, but if you're confident with the kind of jobs you can do and you know you know where your risk lie in each job. I think everyone should be going for fixed prices, eh?
Yeah, 100%. It comes with time, though, eh? Yeah, like, you're obviously not going to just jump in off the bat doing fixed prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do any of your subbies, are they all fixed price, or do most of them offer charge up hourly rates, or is it all kind of square meter rate or point rates?
So, to be honest, like, I've done real well out of, this is a risky way of business, but I've priced heaps of jobs under 200k and never got a quote from a subby.
I've priced
the whole thing, and then I'll just get everyone in on charge up, and that's so risky. Like, and like, sometimes my painter might have ran over the grand or 2 grand, or and then sometimes my plumber's ran under, like, because I've gone on fixture rates, he's ran under 5 grand, like. And it, honestly, like, some of the best money I've ever made, but it's such high risk. Like,
can be.
You imagine being wrong, and you can't go back to your client and be like, "Hey, I actually made this all up."
But I need a bit. More money,
I don't know. Like, that's worked out real good for me.
Yeah, nice one.
I have done that, and then, everyone generally my painter's square meter rates, the jib stoppers are square meter rates. The plumbers are fixture rates, the sparkies are fixture rates, if you are getting them to price it.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Are you happy to disclose some of those rates?
Yeah, the ones I know off the top of my head.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Plaster and painting stuff?
Painting, usually, unless it's real tricky, you'd be expecting somewhere from 50 to 75 off the floor.
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
Yeah, and then plastering, I think it's somewhere around 45 off the floor.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, depending on the detail of the house, I think that's a standard brick and tile, 3-beddy.
Yeah, nice.
About 45, it used to be 35.
Yeah.
It's gone up 45. Jib stopping 5 years ago used to be down around, jib fixing used to be down around 17, now it's up around 25 off
the floor. Do you sub that out as well? Depending on
depending on our workload. Generally, we'll do it, but we'll sub it out if we have to. And then what else?
Roofing.
Roofing.
Corrugated standard.
I don't know. I've got heaps of them loaded into my computer. I can put it on the spot.
We sort of.
It might be 84. Is it 85?
We see anywhere from 90 to 130.
Yeah.
Depending where you are and busyness. Yeah.
And then concrete, like, you've got some of the bigger companies that are still doing. Driveway is at 65 a square meter.
We
do concrete too, and we'll just sub out just the lane, we'll prep the rest of it, but we usually try and come in around $80 square meter. I know that up in Auckland there, I was talking to one of my mates who's got a concreting company there, about 120 square meter, 120 to 120.
120 to 140, I would say.
150
on...
for exposed though. I just think that you don't want to be the cheapest price, though.
No, like, no way.
Like, it's foolish. Like, you're putting your family at risk, your creditors at risk, your staff at risk, everything. I don't think there's any future in
being
the cheapest, eh?
I just want to wrap up, try and get a few more rates. What do you see, sort of plumbers, sparkies, and like floor covering stuff, roughly?
So, I think the plumbers, if I price a project, a reno, I'll allow $1,000 a fixture for them. But they might come in at 800 a fixture.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I think the hourly rate's around 85.
Yeah.
The floor coverings.
Tiles.
Tiles, 85 a square meter for tile supply, I think we usually allow.
Yeah.
And then laying for a standard, say 600 by 600, about 85 as well.
Yeah. I was going to say
150 all up.
150 to 200 is pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's mid range. Cool. So if we were going to use a PC sum, like they hadn't decided, we'd probably put a PC sum of 150 to 200, same thing. Nice. And then what else? Floor coverings, carpet.
90?
$90. I think that's pretty mid-range, eh? 90?
Yeah, 90's pretty safe.
Yeah. But,
You were telling me before about your kitchen kit in here. I sat down with one of the Mitre 10 owners, and he was saying about they want to compete all their kitchens with boutique kitchen companies across the country. What did you get your kitchen kit out for? It was pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah, I might get in trouble, but, it was about... We put through a lot, eh?
Yeah.
We were putting through a lot with Mitre 10.
Yeah.
So much now, but sort of moved away from them a little bit. But 12 and a half.
Yeah, nice.
Including appliances and install.
I'll check a photo into that. It's
and impressive. Honestly, it looks...
pretty sharp.
Yeah, pretty looks sharp. At least you're getting into the couple of 100K kitchens. It looks as good as a 50K kitchen.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
What's your... how many... when you go for material... estimates, pricing. Do you work with one rep, or do you have a good relationship with a couple, same as the subcontractor setup? How do you work with trade reps?
Nah, yeah, I reckon that the same thing, eh? So if you're sticking with one,
yeah,
and they know it,
yeah,
they might not look up, you know. Yeah, so you kind of want to be known to have a few connections.
Yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, the same as like the sub trades, eh? Yeah. If they know that you're just using them, they'll creep the prices up. Yeah, I've seen it. I've done it. So you've got to be known to have accounts everywhere. Otherwise,
people think they'll just hold a gun to your head and they can kind of charge what they want. What's the workflow like at the moment down around here? Everyone loves knowing where's busy. What's your pipeline looking like moving into 2024?
Yeah.
And how long are you kind of booked out for?
Yeah, so we've got not most of our crew booked out for towards the end of next year.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and then we've got a couple of the guys that we just leave floating for pop-up projects.
Yep, sweet.
And I've always tried to roll like that. But we're pretty lucky. We do a lot of government work.
Yeah,
and
I worked real
hard on locking in some big contracts. Real hard.
Yeah.
Like, and taking people out for coffees.
Yeah, man.
Every 10 minutes on lunches and driving around to see them and follow-up calls and just working harder on all our leads.
Yeah.
So we're real lucky that we've got those. But a lot of guys have got next to nothing.
Yeah.
Like I get guys ringing me up every second day with crews
that
have got no work, or guys that have shut down their companies with no work. It's that housing company stuff, eh? But
yeah, that's
I always try to build my company around, like, all my brothers are like real successful businessmen, nothing to do with building, but I've got a lot of good people around me, and so my whole goal always was to set my company up to be recession proof.
Yeah, 100%.
That was like my main thing I thought about every week, every day.
Is there a demand for like maintenance-y stuff down here, smaller stuff? That's always a good way for people to...
There is a demand, and we did get into that, and I had like a massive portfolio of houses, but I didn't really have the right guys
to do it.
And I was getting callbacks, and then so I say I'd have like $1 million job, and then I'd have all these like $500 to like thousand or maybe $200 jobs, and I was getting callbacks on the little ones, because like you kind of want an old semi-retired guy who's
boost round, do them,
does them
easy on the body,
and who knows and who finishes them properly, and I didn't really have the right guys, so I ended up shutting that down.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but there's always the demand for those maintenance jobs.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Biggest kind of...
We still do maintenance for one company.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Biggest kind of like, have you had any times where you've had to like do a good pivot or a good shift or a lesson learnt on certain work? Maintenance could be a prime example. Anything else you could sort of add there?
So the maintenance, I just found it wasn't worth the headache, because I didn't have the right person.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, I've definitely trialled different industries,
different
sectors, and been like, nah, that's not for me. Like, when I first started, I was pumping out new builds, like for a developer, and probably similar rates to what housing company guys were getting, but I was doing the whole thing from setting up the profiles to putting the letterbox, and he was just paying me off. I was just green and young, and he was paying me off what, like the housing companies pay people.
Yeah, man.
And so I got out of that, and then honestly got rung up by every housing company in town and like, do you want to come do our work?
Not for
I was just like, nah. And then sometimes I wouldn't know what was 2 weeks in front of me.
Yeah.
And then the boys would be like, who are working for me? Why don't you take them? That's like
a
year's work in that subdivision. I'll be like, nah, because when a recession hits, I'm only going to know that one project manager. And so I stuck to my guns, and I've sort of, found my different little niches, though.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that stuff, eh? I think it's good, like, if you're maybe just going out on your own and you're starting to build, but I definitely don't think you rely on that to make money. Rely on it for maybe turnover or keep the boys busy. But,
Just the starting point, eh?
It's designed to fail, I think.
and a downturn, look, exactly what's happened, eh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What's your kind of goal or movements with your company for the next couple of years? What are you trying to, have you got a goal in mind? What's your ultimate end up?
So honestly, I just want to refine what I've got.
Yeah.
And I just want to create like a good lifestyle for me and my kids.
Yeah, sweet, man.
Yeah, so I'm happy. I don't want to get any bigger.
Yeah.
And I just want to just refine everything, get better systems so I can go on holidays with my kids without being in the office till 5 a.m. Honestly, yeah. I went to Bali this year, and the 2 nights before I went, I was in the office till 4 or 5 a.m, just about to get away. So I just want to just work on better systems internally. We have got pretty good systems, but obviously need more help. Just want to get into doing my own development.
That's good, man. I think that's the good end up goal for anyone running their own company. They know how much money they can make. You know, you get all the true costs, not the obviously company costs. But I think that's a good point. Would you start to look at doing that around here?
I will.
That's good. I think I had a couple more. We can cut this bit out. Standard. 2 seconds, bro.
You're right, brother. It's been pretty flowy so far.
Yeah, it's good, man. In the garage, seen a few toys in that there. How often do you get out on the motorbike, surfboard, etc.?
Little adrenaline squirts.
Yeah.
Probably, to be honest, like the bike, I just like it looking all shiny when people come around. I get out not that often. My sisters live up in Whangamatar.
Mate.
So sometimes I go out there on a Friday night. Arvo and go out there, have a cup of tea or a burger or whatever, and then the jet ski, I don't really use that much. It looks cool.
Yeah.
It goes fast. and then the boat, we take the boat out heaps. Me and the kids go out fishing and take the kids down the lake. So
cool.
The boat's the toy, and then take the contiki out from time to time when we need a feed. And
good shit.
Yeah, I just reckon you've got to have a release, eh?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, something to get away for sure.
Do boxing every morning.
Nice.
Just part of my morning routine. Good just shit. A real good stress relief.
Yeah. Have you had the work party for the year yet? Christmas party?
Nah, so we got the buggies down to Rotorua, Rotorua Adventure Park, going up in the hills in some four-wheel drive buggies, and then have a barbie back here and then go out for dinner with the boys and see who wants to stay out longer.
Good stuff.
I guess I've got to stay out with them and keep shouting them, mate, until they're done, eh?
Cut that off at 1 a.m, mate. Don't do anything too silly. Nah, that's good, man. I think we've covered pretty good topics there. Thanks for jumping on. If anyone wants to get in touch with you regarding work or a job, how do they find you?
Yeah, so White Builders, Mount Maunganui Limited. We're real easy to find on Google, Instagram. You find us straight away if you want to punch in our name.
Easy. Thank you very much, bro.
Thanks, mate.
Appreciate it.
Okay, cheers, mate.